Case of the day, appeal number 06-4107, Muslari v. Gonzalez. Mr. Metcalf.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Patrick Metcalf, and I represent the petitioners, Mr. and Mrs. Albert Muslari. Petitioners are citizens and nationals of Albania. They entered the country January of 2002. And shortly after their entry, they filed for an asylum with the asylum office here in Chicago. The asylum office referred the case back to immigration court, who has denied the application based on that testimony was not credible and inconsistent. They appealed to BIA, Board of Immigration Appeals. They remand the case back for the issue of voluntary departure while affirming the denial of the asylum. Upon remand, the petitioners refused the voluntary departure and opportunity to present additional evidence since the first hearing with the immigration court. The immigration judge denies the additional evidence and simply requests the petitioners whether they want to pursue forward with a voluntary departure. The petitioners deny the voluntary departure, and petitioners, they get removed back to Albania. Petitioners appeal again to the BIA, and BIA affirms the immigration judge's decision. And now here we are. There are two issues before you this morning. The first is whether the BIA and the immigration judge has erred when they did not allow the petitioners an opportunity to present additional new evidence in support of their claims for relief under Section 240.10 of A4. The second issue is whether the immigration judge and the BIA erred in determining that the petitioner did not meet the burden as proof to their claims of relief in the form of asylum.
On the first issue, the BIA held or rejected the claim because you didn't identify what the new evidence was. And as I read your brief, I didn't see any description of what the new evidence was or might have been had the opportunity been extended.
Sure. That was during the second hearing before the immigration judge. If you read the transcript, almost the entire hearing was based on whether the petitioner tried to admit the evidence. The immigration judge simply denied any new evidence.
Did you tell him what it consisted of or make any kind of a proffer?
Well, I mean, we couldn't.
Did you tell the BIA what it would have been had you been allowed to?
No, we didn't. But
and you didn't tell us either?
No, I mean, we know what that is, but the issue is that going back to the second hearing date, the petitioners proffered. They wanted to bring up to the judge, but he simply refused it.
And so let me make sure, because I have the same problem that Judge Sykes does. You actually had a written proffer that laid out what the testimony was, and you tried to give that to the judge, and the judge rejected it?
No, my understanding of the hearing was the petitioner's attorney tried to admit the evidence to the judge, but the judge simply didn't want to hear it.
Right. And what I'm saying is, did the petitioner, in saying to the judge, I have new evidence,
yes,
outline what that evidence was? Not just the conclusion that I have new evidence. The lawyer did not lay it out, did not explain what it was, and then when rejected by the court, didn't hand something in writing to the judge laying out what the new evidence is.
He couldn't.
You mean he could not file a paper showing what the evidence was? The judge said you cannot file anything?
Absolutely. Judge simply flatly denied any new evidence. He says, I'm not going to hear it. If you see the transcript.
I understand he said, I'm not going to hear it. But what I'm saying is just you can always offer to the court what the actual testimony is so that you make a record. So that you make a record for the BIA, and then you make a record for us. For us, it's very hard for us to weigh what the prejudice is, and we don't know what the new evidence is. I mean, and that's why even when a judge says, no, I don't want to hear anything, you give the judge the proffer or something in writing explaining what the testimony would be or what the evidence would be.
Yes. I wasn't the trial lawyer in this case. However, my best understanding was he attempted, but he was rejected to make a proffer.
So why don't you deal with the credibility issue? Because to me, that's your strongest argument.
Sure. During the first hearing, the immigration judge makes several points. There are usually three different points the judge has made. Judge basically says the testimony was not credible, and I'll outline four separate times. First, he says, the judge states that petitioner's testimony was diametrically opposed because regarding the Socialist Party back in 1997. And during that time, it was a troubling time back in Albania. And when the petitioners made the statements regarding what happened to the Socialist Party, he was struggling through that anarchy time. He was making his opinion. So, sure, I mean, he can say what he says it was like, but he wasn't directly opposing it. And second, this is a strong point, is the brief detention on October of 1977. The judge says he was not mistreated. That's simply not true. The record shows he has been mistreated, or at least the petitioner testified that he was beaten with rubber sticks during his arrest on two occasions. So when the immigration judge makes arguments that he was not mistreated, that is simply not true. And another point is the judge was skeptical of a petitioner's involvement with election process. And he says there's simply too many of those people who were involved in the election process. Well, that we can't help that. There are other similar processes that does not bar asylum claim. In fact, we contend that it is common for many people to be in a similar situation. And the final point about the credibility issue is the judge states that petitioners lied to the U.S. Embassy, so therefore he has no credibility in coming to the United States. At that time, he was trying to flee Albania. He really didn't have any option. He did what he could do to leave the country. And therefore, the credibility issues, I think, has been met. And what immigration judge has been saying is simply, it's not true. And should I have anything further? Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Wong.
May it please the court, my name is Sue Wong, and I represent the United States. Your Honor, let's first address the issue of the evidence. The court is absolutely right. At no point did the petitioner ever identify what the new evidence would have been. He certainly didn't present before the immigration judge, even though, as the court indicated, he didn't even give a proffer or attempted to submit a written proffer of any sort. He certainly didn't present to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and definitely not before this court. And therefore, it's impossible to assess what the prejudice would have been if you don't even know what the evidence would have been. And therefore, Your Honor, we would submit that the immigration judge committed no violation of the petitioner's statutory right to present his case.
Then can you turn to the credibility
findings?
Because I have some real problems with it. When the IJ ignored the fact that Musolari was mistreated during his prison stays, he even says at several points he was not mistreated, which is totally at odds with the testimony. Do you square that? Isn't that a fundamental mistake?
Well, Your Honor, I believe the immigration judge in this case saw the whole case in its totality. He, first of all, doubted the petitioner's testimony in several key aspects, and therefore the court may very well have doubted the fact that he was mistreated. And, of course, petitioner's testimony was really vague about how he was mistreated. He just said through violence and psychological pressure.
Well, I thought on the first imprisonment in 91, he specifically said it lasted a week. He refused to obey an order to fire on protesters. He said that he was beaten regularly and he was subject to psychic pressure and he escaped with four other prisoners. Are you saying that was vague?
Yes, Your Honor. He just says he was detained for a week and he was beaten. Usually in these asylum cases, petitioners are very specific as to how they were mistreated and what had occurred. And in all these instances where he claimed he was mistreated, he never says specifically what happened. In fact, some of the testimony that he gave...
So like the third imprisonment that occurred in 98, he says he was arrested on phony weapons charges, held for a day, beaten regularly with batons, pressured to sign a confession, and his wrists were bound together with barbed wire. That's not specific enough.
Well, Your Honor, but at that point, the immigration judge already had doubt as to his credibility because in his asylum application, he indicated that that he was arrested in 1997 for the weapons charge, that the police, in fact, found weapons at his house. And also, again, if you would look at his testimony, he testified that his house was ransacked by the police because they were, he said, I guess, looking for documents. In his asylum application in the affidavit, he said that there were rumors of that he was harboring illegal firearms, and that's why the police went to his house. And, in fact, they did find machine guns, etc. And that is consistent with the country conditions where they indicated in 1997 there was basically anarchy where people were looting the military arms, I guess the storage, and individuals were arming themselves with weapons. So the immigration judge thought it was completely plausible that the petitioner had, in fact, had illegal weapons at his house. So we're talking about a testimony where the petitioner had made inconsistent statements from beginning to end, and so the immigration judge doubted anything he had to say. And of course, this case is...
Well, what about the whole the arrest in 2000? Didn't the IJ get the chronology backwards? You know, when I read the testimony of Mulahari, it seems that they tried to get to him to throw the election in October, and then he was arrested several weeks later in November. Isn't that right? Isn't that the sequence?
Right.
But that's not what the IJ said.
Your Honor, the petitioner was arrested in November, and I believe the immigration judge's his decision indicated that he was detained subsequent to the result of the election, which occurred at the latter part of October of 2000. And therefore, it was implausible that the police would actually want to have him fix the election, which had already occurred.
Yeah, but that's
not
what his testimony was. His testimony was that they tried to get him to throw the election in October, and then he was later arrested several weeks later in November. That's what the testimony was.
Your Honor, I'm trying to recall. I reread his testimony, and he basically was very unclear, in my opinion, as to what the sequence of events. If you look at the affidavit, he'll say that it was in October when the election came out, and then in November I was detained, and they wanted me to spy on the Democratic Party members. And, of course, the immigration judge also thought that was somewhat questionable because the Democratic Party is a legal party, and there's no reason for the opposition party to want him to spy on a legal party and who their leaders were and what they were up to. That just made no sense. The immigration judge in this case just thought everything the petitioner had to say made no sense. And so every detail from the material and the less material, I guess, information to be implausible or inconsistent.
Well, wasn't one of the IJ's statements that since talking about this whole election monitoring problem, he said that since other Albanians have sought asylum as election monitors, that probably this was a fake. You know, that what he was doing was making up the fact that so many people had filed such claims.
That was only a part of his decision. That was not the sole reason why he thought that particular testimony was incredible. He indicated that the petitioner was just a mere member. He doesn't understand why anybody would want him back then or even now. He even admitted that he didn't hold any leadership position. He was just a member. He just a card-carrying member who did nothing for the party, and yet he claims time and again he was detained because of his membership in that party, and that just completely makes no sense. He talks about the conflict between the party leaders of that party who had, I believe, the president of the Democratic Party who had been killed, but again, he was the president of the party, not a mere member like the petitioner. And once the immigration judge determined that he lacked credibility, the immigration judge also determined that he didn't submit any corroborating evidence, which the law requires you do that if your testimony, the credibility of your testimony is calling to question. He provided absolutely no corroborating evidence. In fact, if you read the transcript closely, I believe it's page 156 of the administrative record, his brother was sitting in the back of the courtroom. Now, certainly his brother could have testified and corroborated some of the information he told the court, and also his family still lives in Albania, and they could have easily written a letter of sort to indicate the events that he claimed had occurred, the arrests, the house searches, and also his oldest son is still in Albania, and he claims that he fears for his wife and his children, yet he came to the United States and left his child back home. So the government submits that this is not an individual who is fleeing any type of persecution whatsoever. And also, the testimony during cross-examination, the petitioner admitted that he traveled over 20 times between 1999 and 2001 between Albania and Greece because he had to go to Greece to for business purposes because he worked for a marble company. And so this is not an individual who at first opportunity sought to leave Albania because he was fleeing persecution. He left Albania because he wanted to come to the United States specifically and not to flee persecution. If there is no further question, the government will submit on the brief. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything more, Mr. Metcalf?
One point with respect to the election party, I just want to reiterate that there are many people who are in similar circumstances. Just the fact that he's just a member, it doesn't mean he's not subject to any target of any persecution. So we contend the testimony was credible. And based on that, petitioner prays that this court reverse the BIA and remand the case back to the immigration court. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.